You're walking a fine line, Dave. I think there's a boundary.
That's true. The battle is a sexist show. That's what we're at right here.
But Ellie, we have to get back to Ellie.
Ellie, you're sitting there. You're in college right now.
You're surrounded by women who watch porn.
All right, so let me ask you this, Ellie. We're going to get down to it. What age did you make the transfer from going from all women porn to introducing some penises?
And before you start, I just want to say I went through that experience too, Ellie. So don't feel ashamed.
It's all women probably do.
You had that. It's a slow transition into
she's
porn.
Saying, Dave is sexually harassing me too.
Right.
So it's
me
okay.
too. Hashtag me too.
And I'm in studio with him. So whatever he asks you, he's asked me, and I'm in the studio with him.
Just right, Ellie. Ellie. Shh,
hold on. Ellie. No. Ellie, can you start one more time, please?
Ellie, just give us a rundown. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So I got to say maybe like 12 is when I found my brother's, for example, like car magazines with like slutty ass women on them. And I just loved it. And like my parents found them. It was great.
That's great.
I think when I started watching porn with men in it is when I actually started sleeping with men, because not even as like an advice thing, trying to like figure out how men work, because porn is not the best place to find that.
And sometimes you got to stay inspired.
So what was first, sleeping with men or watching porn with men?
Sleeping with men, I would have to say, yeah.
So, like, did you know anything about, like, you know, like, sleeping with men without watching porn? I'm baffled by this.
I have to, you know what, Ellie, hold on. I have to agree with you, because I used to watch porn with, like, female gangbang, because I'm just...
You're really into this gangbang, Rosie.
I feel like I love, you know what, I'm a very social person. I love a good party.
Apparently.
But so I used to watch lesbian gangbangs, and you know, it wasn't until I got into a relationship where I felt safe that I could actually accept
the penis.
No, let's not call it a penis. Let's call it a cock.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, it's about priorities, like with especially that transition. Like, it, part of it's like I don't give a shit about men as a person dating a man. I like kind of low key don't care, but it's like with watching lesbian porn and then sleeping with men and then transitioning to this watching porn with men in it, it's like the priority from the get-go has always been the self. And like, I'm thankful that I've had that experience and not like going through most of my young age of like only satisfying men and not giving any care about my own desires and needs.
Well, obviously you need to care about your own desires. You're in college now, Ellie. Let's get down to brass tacks. Think for yourself. Think for your own needs here. All right, so I got two questions. One is, I need to know that I'm not being horribly perverted with a underage. How old are you, Ellie? I mean, need to
I'm
know.
22.
22, perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone is safe here.
Okay. All right, so then, Ellie, my second question will be, now that you've matured in your 22 years of age...
A beautiful age that is.
It is a beautiful age.
We would all return to that age if we could at this moment.
Experimental age. Yeah. Experimental age. You do you. All right, but I want to know what is, because this is what you called in about, and this is what I want to know about. What is your ideal porn? Because I feel like that's what you called in about.
And you can do it before and after. You can say, this is my ideal porn when I couldn't handle looking at cocks. And this is my ideal porn now that I'm into this.
I think my ideal porn is, I think kind of like, I mean, obviously I think BDSM is the most fascinating thing on the planet, in the sense both intellectually and like otherwise. Like I just
Did you just say intellectual in describing porn? I'm intrigued.
Well, I mean, it's like the power.
Everybody does it.
If you think about submissiveness, you secretly have all of the power because you are giving permission ultimately in a healthy BDSM kind of dynamic. So I love seeing in porn the kind of dominant submissive dynamic in which like it's very obvious that in a covert way, I know that seems like an oxymoron, that the submissive person has so much power by allowing it. And so it gets kind of crazy and like it's like
Rosie, I mean Ellie, focus on me for a second. Ellie, focus on me for a second.
Because if it's not about Dave, it's not about the Dave and Giggle
this
show.
This is true. This is true.
Welcome to the Dave and Giggle show on Radio Free Brooklyn.
It's very true. Ellie, we can wax intellectual about porn forever.
Or you could just wax in general.
Exactly. But we're here. You wanted to tell us about your most ideal porn. So the idea that you like power struggles, I'm into it. But let's hear the setup that you want to lay down here and get this thing moving.
Screen is black. And all of a sudden, what happens, Ellie?
Okay, so there's a dominant man, a submissive woman, and then there's like a woman that's a switch that goes back and forth so that she can be like super like dominatrix and like have whips out and shit. And that's fantastic, right?
Ellie, you're into some kinky stuff.
Shut up, Dave. Shut up, Dave.
He's getting off on this.
He's not. I can actually see him.
All right, go on. Go on.
Part of me is also like I'm weirded out by on like a practical level of threesomes. I just find them complicated. So watching them is really fascinating. But yeah, definitely like having that third woman as like a switch in the situation in which she can be, you know, like taking out that whip, but at the same time also like being the submissive person. Yeah, I definitely like two women and one man, because it's all about women, really. Let's be honest.
This is true. This is true.
You know, I thought about what you said earlier about like. Have delaying the conk in porn, and I feel like I just thought about it, and I think the reason is that women are very shamed about sex. Young women are taught that the ideal is to be this like the Virgin Mary is like a female icon, and all these other women that are icons to women are like these virginal characters. Virginal. And you're like women are shamed about the cock, you know. When I was I went to an all girls private school. Yeah. Yes. It was very, I'm sure if I thought about it now, it would be hot. But radio, but at the time, it was not hot.
It's kind of still hot.
Okay. But what I was saying is, I was taking a sex ed class, and I'm not kidding. I was at an all girls private school, and this nun, Sister Mary Crucifix, I love her. No, she had bad breath. She said to me during sex ed class, if you look at it, you will get pregnant. If you touch it, it will fall off. That was sex ed at an all.
But I mean, that's a very Christian Catholic type of mentality where it's like, you know, you don't do shit. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't do anything. And like, that's a wrong approach.
During tug of war, they used to say to us.
Here we go. What are we talking about?
No, during tug of war, they used to say to us, stay taught, girls.
I mean, it's not wrong.
No, that's not wrong. So I'm saying is that there is an
Dave Sweat.
I just don't know where we got off the rails here.
It's a good thing that I'm not a vixen. But all I want to say is that there is a lot of shaming of women when it comes to sexuality. Men are trained to act on their sexuality, and maybe it's
to
even
a certain degree.
It's even deeper than gender equality. Maybe it's the way that we raise our daughters. Maybe we should encourage them to be just as expressive of their sexuality as men are.
True, but I mean, it's also we're raising our kids, especially in today's society, we're raising our kids to be like, you know, don't be the aggressor, like, because women don't want it. Like, no is no, and like, We've grown up until, you know, a couple of decades ago where no doesn't mean no, you know, and now it does. I'm not saying that's wrong. I don't know where
No, I think the ideal is that we need to train women.
Stop talking.
Controversy here, Ellie.
No, I think the ideal, and Ellie will agree with me on this, is that we should turn women into aggressors. So men never have to be in a position where they're wrong. They can just constantly.
I'm down with that. It's hot. That is hot. Ellie, we need you to be the revolutionary one here. Be the aggressor in your 22 years of age.
What do you think, Giggles?
So what? Giggles just got up and left. Giggles just got up and left.
He takes too many bathroom breaks.
I know. It's
how do you handle this? Is there a union?
There should be. All right, Ellie, give us a rundown. Like, all right, so at Bennington, what is the talk of the town? Like, what are the kids into these days? Sexual or not, I don't really need to care about what we're talking about here, but give us a rundown on like what's happening on a college campus today.
Oh God. women experimenting.
There's nothing wrong with that. Again, hot.
Honesty is the only requirement. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a senior, so I'm a little bit out of the loop. And as far
you're out of the loop, I'm really out of the loop. All right, go on.
And I'm superbly out of the
loop. So I'm somewhat out of the loop. But I think there's these two very extremes in which you'll see two people together and they will be like clearly like, you know, having feelings and clearly hooking up every weekend, but they won't say that they're dating. Or on the flip side is that they're probably going to get married. Like they're super, super together.
Sure.
And then those breakups are always super nasty. So,
right. But I think that is kind of like the kind of microcosm of society as well. But the interesting thing that you guys have that we didn't really have when we were growing up is you guys have these dating apps, like the Tinders of the world. Like, is Tinder giant thing on a college campus?
I mean, we have like, what, a little over 700 students, and we're in the middle of rural Vermont, so Tinder is not exactly like a It's a lot of townies, rednecks, great stuff like that. You know, you find some good hits and you find a lot of misses. You know, with my experience with dating apps here when I was single. It's not as a part of the kind of dating culture as much as like other campuses that I've visited, for example, like a city campus, like anything in Boston, New York City, or even like Worcester, Massachusetts. You're going to find more activity on Tinder. And probably
I would not want to find anybody in Worcester, Massachusetts, but that's me. But I feel like
that's too far away for a booty call.
Bennington
is, according to Dave.
Yeah, definitely true. I mean, you could go out of the New York area and I'm out of the loop. But Bennington is just south, right? Yeah. Just south of Vermont. True.
Well, it's it's right just over the state line of New York, so it's not far from Albany.
So
it's,
really, really close. So I feel like you gotta open up your search. But I mean, go ahead, Ellie. Go ahead, Ellie.
Well, Albany has like statistically probably more fuckable people. I have friends that live in Albany and they went to like the big school campuses in the city and they like, you know, they've always wanted me to date people.
I'm going to say this, Ellie, I'm going to say this for my sake. Do not fuck anybody in Albany. Do not fuck anybody in Albany.
Do you want to hear my statement? No, I have an argument that will agree with him. Hold on. Listen
to it. Here we go. Oh, we got some.
That is my rebuttal.
There it is. We got the harmonica happening.
No. I mean, I'm not like I've wanted to, but no, you know, there's definitely that encouragement and there's like cutie patooties on Tinder, but you're not going to go for it because it's Albany. So
exactly. This is my point. So here you are, Ellie. You're in a committed relationship. You're a senior in high school. You think you got it all figured out, correct?
You do have it all figured out. By the time you're our age, you'll have forgotten.
That's true. You will forget.
Don't ever forget.
What's the life look like? What's the near future look like? You graduate and what happens?
Actually, radio. I'm looking to try to apply as many radio jobs as humanly possible. And I just keep going from there. And if it doesn't work out, I'll become a lawyer. So.
Yeah, don't do a lawyer. Don't do a lawyer. I will say this, though. You have an open invitation to come on my show anytime you want.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Anytime you want.
We love you. I'll be on December 2nd. So
sure. You just have to come down to New York City, which I feel like is a little bit better than Bennington. So whatever. It's all good. All right, Ellie. You've been fantastic.
Thank you.
We'll
have a good night, guys.
Later. Tune in next
week.
We'll talk to you. Give us a buzz back. Let us know how things are gearing up over there.
Surf different kinds of porn and get back to us.
Yeah. I definitely want to hear more about your porn intake. Definitely.
Yeah, I think you should branch out and try like masseuse porn. And hold on. What other porn do you think she should go to?
She's hung up. So.
Yeah, okay. That's she's still listening.
She is still listening. I feel like
try different
a good
porn.
Time.
Yeah. Maid porn. Masseuse porn.
I just wrote down lesbian gangbang.
Lesbian gangbang. Wait, is that a legit thing? Like lesbian gangbangs?
You know what? I suggest scissoring for straight men because even though I know that women don't get off at scissoring, so I can't really watch it with the leap of faith that most straight men can, it's actually interesting to watch if you don't realize that women don't get off on that.
Yeah, there's really nothing to it. Like, it's just like, it's dry humping is what it is.
Yes, but when two women dry hump, I know that for a fact that most straight men feel really very strongly about it.
Well, if they're naked, everyone's going to be into it.
All right. Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hold on. It's not automatically picking up anymore. Go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air.
All right, go for it again, buddy.
Caller, you are on the air.
What's up, guys?
Nothing. What's going on with you?
Hello.
Not too much. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear
you. We can all hear you. You sound beautiful.
Oh.
She's got a voice for radio. She does actually have a voice for radio.
So,
this is Ems McGee.
This is Plan B McGee.
Is,
all right.
A longtime guest on our show.
Can I properly greet you?
Yeah,
wait
go
one
ahead.
Moment.
Hello. Her voice sounds kind of like mine.
It does kind of sound like yours. So Rosie here,
like repeating back to me.
It would be amazing. Rosie here is shadowing our show because she's starting her new show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And, you know, to start your own show, you got to shadow a couple existing shows. So Rosie's here to hang out and apparently tell us her most intimate of things.
I have to say that even though I'm being sexually harassed, I really am enjoying myself.
That's good. I feel like I've been more sexually harassed than you. So
that's like the nicest plug this show's ever gotten.
That's true. That's
you,
true.
Wait till 8 o'clock and tell us that.
Yeah, it's true. All right, Plan B, what's going on? We haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. What's going on? I answered the call, you know, when
you're
Bradley
like Batman.
Tells me to call in.
You're like Batman. Right. You answer the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I get
you're
the
one
signal.
Of my only friends that does.
Yeah.
Harmonica going. So, Plan B, I feel like last time.
You gotta give us something.
Give us something interesting.
Give us something interesting, because if another caller calls in, we might take them. We do this with you.
Oh,
it happens.
True.
Yeah, I know.
You got, like,
and
you
that's
got limited,
why I roll my eyes
limited
time.
Time.
I know.
Text.
I feel like last time we talked to you, you were telling us about a Tinder thing that was going serious. Is this is true, right?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
Yeah, that's true.
What happened with that?
You know, it just continued to be complicated and serious.
Yeah.
And just like not go somewhere, but go somewhere at the same time. It's great. You know.
So is it still going, or has it become sizzled out?
Well, it's still going. He's an actor, and so he's on the Motown tour right now. And so when he comes home,
is he black?
See him, and he's not black.
Dump him. My answer to every question is dump him.
Dump him.
Dump him. I know. Just go with any other person on the Motown tour. It would
or
be
watch
better.
Porn.
Watch porn. So that's really fascinating. I feel like this has been something that's been going on for a while. So you've just
it's
kind
the
of
longest relationship I've ever had.
I know.
It's just not a real relationship.
You need to find a real relationship. No, I'm serious. I think
Yeah.
We've told her this.
No. You know what? People can tell you all you want, but I think you need to sit down with your feelings and really think about it.
And Tinder.
And tell yourself that Tinder comes after you've thought about this.
Nah, let it go.
Right.
No, and I think that you need to tell yourself that this is not the only person that will fuck you. And move on from there.
It's true.
I'm not trying to say this is not an insult.
To call in,
Emily.
And then we basically tell her, like, you need a relationship.
Emily, this is not an insult. Every person in the world, man or woman or transgendered, goes through this. You have to realize that the world is large, it's full of people. Well, not just penises, but it's full of people. And you know what? If this person will fuck you, I can guarantee you so many others will. And that's where you have to realize it's okay.
Is that a pep talk?
That is a pep talk.
That is a pep talk.
That is like a...
You don't have to worry about this. He doesn't pay you. He doesn't pay you, right?
Not last I checked.
Okay. He doesn't pay you. So therefore, he can be cut loose. And then you can find someone else who will fuck you.
For the longest time,
you find somebody who will fuck you that you will want to have a conversation with.
Unless they're really good. You know, there's some people
conversation
that are really
is important.
Good.
Yeah.
But until you can find the conversation, you need to tide yourself over. So you don't make stupid decisions.
For the longest time, we were trying to convince Plan B that she was a lesbian and to try to date girls. But
you're not a lesbian.
Anywhere.
You're just... You just need to let go.
I mean, when I hang out with dudes like Mike and Dave, you know, lesbian
is not a bad
more
option.
And more appealing.
That is true.
It starts to think that I'm like, dude, men are just retarded.
Awful.
I'm
they're just stupid.
No, that's not true.
They're
terrible.
Terrible people.
No, you know what? Let's bring it down to the real place. Wait, your name is Plan B.
Plan B.
Okay, Plan B.
She's gonna.
I just want. Okay, what are
that
you?
That name already tells you a lot about.
It does.
I'm not making any judgments yet. And that is young.
I do.
Okay. Well, it's what, Dave's plan, baby. What are you looking for? What are you looking for?
We're getting deep
this
here.
Is intense.
This is getting really intense.
What are you looking for that you don't have that isn't just sex?
You know, I just want somebody that's like easy to be with. Somebody that's not like who doesn't really need to be entertained, but like who can like keep up with me and is interesting and, you know, like probably white. Like, I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right. Then I'm going to counsel you. When you have a dilemma, you need to think like a scientist. I think people don't realize that scientists are the best thinkers on earth, but you need to
think
like
a lot of people realize that, right?
No. I feel like
except for Donald Trump.
Okay, all right. You have to to think like a scientist. You think I want somebody who's easygoing. Well, I think you need to go to the places where you find easygoing people.
Where's that?
Well, for example, if you volunteer at a homeless shelter, easygoing people will work there.
So you're saying you want Plan B to date a homeless
person?
No.
To date somebody who maybe volunteers for
guys
a chair. No.
Or a school teacher.
No.
She should hang out at schools.
No, that's
then
not a good idea. No,
I'm saying
you need to go to places where you find easygoing people. People who volunteer for difficult causes are easygoing people.
But I mean, let's be honest. In today's dating society, like, going somewhere doesn't really cut it anymore. You really got to find these people on the internet because that's where most people go now.
You need to get off the internet. No, the internet is no place to find a person.
Plan B, go ahead.
Hold on. You know, where Emily lives is very saturated with dudes who are really into themselves. It's Astoria. It's all actors, musicians. Every dude is into themselves. She's not going to find a caring dude living in New York City.
It's true.
Unless she goes to like a hospital or a school or, as Rosie said, a homeless shelter and make sure she doesn't find
somebody. I want
homeless.
You to go to a homeless shelter and try to find a dude.
Just find like the tramp with the heart of gold.
So what's been going on outside of like ongoing dating this guy who probably won't last because it's been going on for so long?
Well, it keeps lasting, and that's the problem. I keep trying to, like, you know, be ready to move on, and it's just, but anyway, yeah, that's old news.
Old news.
He's not listening.
Have you been scammed anymore into doing the public speaking stuff?
Oh, my God.
No. The Landmark.
Landmark Forum. Oh, God, that was so scary. Nope, not been scammed into any life coaching weekends.
That's good. That's good. I'm happy for
that.
You've been kickboxing, right? I see this on Facebook.
I've been kickboxing
a lot.
I mean, there's got to be a bunch of single dudes down there.
I had like a really strong urge to like punch things really hard.
Well, yeah, that definitely has been a factor. I think our friend Deb, who's a sex therapist, I mean, she talks about a lot how like a lot of what she talks about is Donald Trump related sexual tension and all that stuff. And I know for a fact that our friend Andy went to the doctor and in California and I shouldn't say his name too late. He got his marijuana card by telling the doctor that he's been under incredible stress ever since Donald Trump has been elected. So they gave him a marijuana card.
Sounds reasonable to me. I have been so stressed out. I have never given a shit.
Donald Trump ever got for anyone.
I have voted in every election I've been eligible for, but I have never really given a shit about the outcome until Donald Trump was elected.
I think that's our whole generation. We never really cared this much. And now we care to a point that is like,
right.
Well, you know what?
Uncomfortable.
Let's face it. Bush Jr. just made us look like a piece of shit and got us into two horrible wars. But you know what? On a level, other than the fact that he was a hick, he really didn't embarrass us too much.
He embarrassed us a lot.
Yeah. He wouldn't be out there sexually harassing women and saying, nope, didn't do it. He wouldn't be out there insulting.
What about his dad?
His dad has been charged.
He's just an old horny man.
Okay. I think everybody who's in a wheelchair should get a free pass. That's just me.
So from now on, I'm just going to go around in a wheelchair, and I've got Rosie's seal of approval to grab anyone I want at any point and anywhere. So
oh my God. Okay, Dave.
Every creepy, like, you, Vietnam vet,
you just instantly
flag,
converted
like,
me to
presses.
The opposite of my view. Thank you, Dave.
That was my goal.
He converted me.
Yeah. He really makes you think, Dave. He like, you know, he...
Or not.
He asks the tough questions.
He does ask the tough questions, and he says
the
wrong thing.
I like this dynamic of having two dudes and two chicks.
It is. It's good. Yeah. It is the battle of the sexes. You are completely 100% right.
Wait, you know what? I want to ask Dave. I think, Dave, are you the only single person in the studio right now, other than our caller?
I'd say that me and her are in the same boat.
Oh, you're in the same boat. Yeah. Explain your situation. If you don't want to, let's just pass.
We could just pass through it.
We could pass
through it.
But,
he loves passing this question.
No.
Hot seat.
I don't care if he Dave,
okay, fine. Let's forget about the situation. Let's ask Dave what he's looking for in a person. What are you looking for in a person, Dave?
That's also a very sketchy question because there's a lot behind
answer
it.
Answer one or the other.
No
the
commitment.
One or the other.
He
no
wants
commitment.
No commitment. He doesn't want any commitment.
That's not 100% true. I mean, I'm getting older. I'm going to be in February, 39 years old. You can't be young forever. We got a horrible harmonica player over here.
I just blew on the wrong end.
I know. But I would say
take control, Dave. Take the harmonica.
I'm taking control. I would say, to answer your question, enough with the harmonica. Layla. All right, so to answer your question, I will say that I am in a situation where I'm very content, very happy, where I have a lady very similar to Plan B, where it's like an ongoing thing, but I'm very, very happy with it. So there's that.
Yeah.
To move on from that, switch gears completely. That's what I got.
No, you know what I have to say to that?
Uh-huh.
I think it's because you don't feel compelled. I think that when you decide you're going to be with somebody and make like super future plans with them, you have to feel compelled inside that you want to do this. And if you don't feel compelled, that's fine. It means at that moment or at that time, you're not compelled. And that's fine to be honest with yourself about that.
I see where you're coming from, but there's... I get it.
A lot of people do things that they don't want because they feel like that's what they should be doing. You do what you feel
you.
Like you should be doing.
You do you.
Yeah. Don't
I'm
make
very
the world
happy
horrible.
Where I am. I'm very happy where I am. I mean, if you want to talk about it, we can talk to Plan B about it. She's in the situation where she's in this ongoing thing where she just won't let it go.
She wants more, though. She's not like you.
Does she want more? Well, no, I don't really care.
Yeah, I definitely want more, but we were kind of getting to a place where it was more, but then he got this job, and so now he's traveling. And, you know, I don't know. I think
can
it
I advise
would have been different
you?
If he had stayed, but
can I advise you? Can I advise you about something?
I wish you would.
I am going to give you a piece of incredible advice that could really be a game changer.
Here it is.
If he loves you, it'll be a game changer. If you like him, okay, and he's traveling a lot, I encourage you to sit down and do something incredibly intimate. You should write him letters. If you really like him and you want him to, in a way, return to you and do something bigger and not have this job get in the way, don't let the job get in the way of your intimacy. Write him a letter. It doesn't have to be intimate.
Handwritten?
Handwritten.
Like a mail?
On your own
like
fucking
a U.S. Postal Service?
Yes, U.S.
Like
Postal
Service.
Yes, not an email. You write a handwritten letter.
Like
okay.
Not a card.
That sounds like a stalker.
No. Right? Not a card. You write on a piece of paper in your own handwriting and mail. Like you get some stationery and you mail it. And you know what? More points if you wax seal it. Okay.
Is she like 17?
No,
like
no. 18? I'm serious. No, you know what? When you like somebody, you are 17 or 18.
I did this. Oh, hold on.
No. But I want to say no. Let me finish. Just, Giggles. Oh, you'll get your chance. Hold on.
Damn it.
You write him a letter.
Dave.
Write him
I'm
a
here.
Letter.
What's happening?
And you don't have to tell him anything personal. You can just tell him about all the things you did that day. You don't have to get right. personal. You don't have to say I love you. You just write him a letter. You do something intimate. If you really like him. If you don't, fuck it. Find another person.
All right. Emily, listen to me. This is a terrible advice. I did this when I was 18. I wrote to my girlfriend who was in Hawaii, and I wrote her tons of letters. And then two weeks before I was supposed to go out to Hawaii, she tells me we should just be friends. After I buy tickets to Hawaii.
Can I counter this? I was in college, and I was dating the quarterback of the Georgia Tech football team when they were NCAA, double A, undefeated champions. Okay. And they won the football title for that year. He was a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
He
you got, were dating a quarterback.
No. Okay. And people used to joke on campus and tell me that I was teaching him how to read. Okay. He was totally beautiful. And every girl wanted him. And he got kicked out of school because he was part of the square root club, which is when the square root of your GPA is larger than your actual GPA.
Right.
It's actually a club at Georgia Tech. And so he got kicked out. And during the time, and it was just getting kicked out for an athlete means you're on a probation period, which you have to write, means if you want to come back, you just write a letter saying, you know, you'll just do better. Okay. And so, and so he was on a probationary period of a whole semester. And I wrote letters to him once a week. And when he came back, he was my boyfriend. And not that I wanted him.
That sounds so middle school. No, he was my boyfriend. When I came back, he was my boyfriend.
Yeah, and you know what? There's no other way to express it except for the sip boys. He was my boyfriend. And like we were together. And even though him sounding out the letters to read something got to me after a while, when he came back, I was girlfriend. So I don't know who this dude you are is dating, but I'm telling you that being intimate with a guy in a way that's real, okay, if a guy is interested in you, he will connect. And obviously, I don't mean to be mean to you, Giggles, but obviously the girl that you were writing these letters to, she didn't resonate with you, because if she did, she was totally into your letter.
If I would have married that girl, my life would have been...
No.
It'd have been
what I'm saying is if that girl was totally into you, your letters would have set her on fire. And because she didn't say...
She broke my heart. Yeah. I know. We know this.
We've had that happen a lot to you. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if he is for you and it works, it's a good indication.
I was defensive. Sorry, Rosie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Giggles, I want to honor...
It gets real hot. It gets real hot about these.
Wait. Giggles, you have kids, right?
Two.
Two? Tell me about... Wait, how old and what genders?
Rosie.
They're two dudes. They're five.
Oh.
Wait, hold on, you got cut off.
Phone died, or my computer died. All right, we're going to play a little song while I get set up on the other computer. So give us a couple minutes, and we'll be right back. Dave and Giggles, Radio Free Brooklyn. We got Rosie in studio. Things are really happening here, and things are getting a little dicey.
Things are getting real intense.
All right. Hold on a second.
Am I supposed to be on the line?
You're cool.
It sounds like a speakerphone. Huh?
It is. It's a little Thanksgiving themed.
Why don't you charge your computer, bro?
I know. I lost the damn thing every to time. Charge.
Are you guys eating weed gummies?
No, we got some.
I gave him the real Sour Patch Kids. Actually, I had to... you know what? My kid... I have children, too. I have two dudes, too. One is 6 and the other one is 7. And my 7-year-old... He got taken to the Macy's Day Parade warehouse where they have all the new floats and all that other shit.
Put that up. We got.
Okay, forget it.
No, you're good. I'm just saying we got a lot more happening than when I first thought. We got a new guest happening.
Two dudes.
All right, hold on. Let me lay this out. This is Dave and Giggles. Giggles is in Colorado. I am in New York with Rosie, who's kind of trailing us because she's starting her new show. This is Radio Free Brooklyn, and now we have not only do we have Emily on the phone.
I thought her name was Plan B.
Plan B.
Plan B.
And now we have. How did this happen?
Too many people. This is too many people.
I think that this is not enough people. I think more people should call in.
Yeah. So now we have Deb on the line. And Deb,
thank you for calling.
Deb is a licensed sex therapist.
Oh, it's about to get so intense.
I know.
No, you know what? I want to say that I'm honored, Deb. If you are indeed a professional sex therapist, I'm honored that you've called us.
She is.
I'm honored.
This is the beginning of the show.
Oh, God, this is getting way more out of control than I ever thought it would. There's more people on this show than there have been in like a decade.
There's more people on this show.
Should I move in, Dave?
I think.
Apparently. All right, Giggles, go ahead. What were we saying?
I was saying there's more people on the show than actual listeners.
Yeah, that's
unless
true.
Unless you count the,
that's true.
The lesbian college students in
they're
Bennington,
still up in Bennington listening to us.
Shout Ellie. Out to Bennington.
Shout out to Ellie and all her crew. So, Deb, what's happening
right, Deb,
over there?
Tell us what's happening.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No kids home right now.
Oh, that's hot.
So you guys are having sex. So you guys are basically having a lot of sex.
While talking to you.
While talking to us.
Yes.
So are all the kids out of the house? They're not all in college, right?
Go ahead, Giggle.
Everyone's talking.
No, I just...
Let's give the floor to our caller. Hold on. Everyone pause.
Giggles, ask a question. Go ahead.
We were talking sexual harassment, and you're the actual only person that is... We get you to call in because you're the only person that really is sort of certified to talk about what's happening now. People are saying, no, it's not a sex edition. We talked... Take that damn harmonica.
I did. I took it away. I took it away.
If you have to...
Go ahead.
It's sex addiction is not real. It's just, you know... And it's just like we don't want to call it a witch hunt, but it's kind of turning into like... Or is it everybody's like now is the time to talk about this? I don't really know if that was a great question, but
I don't know what the question was there. What was the question there? Like, what are your thoughts?
I just want somebody smarter than you, Dave, to weigh in on the subject that we're talking about.
Not going
to
happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
All right, go ahead, Deb.
I don't know how what's happening?
I don't know.
I don't blame you. Wasn't really a question.
It wasn't a question. It was not a question.
It wasn't a question.
No, it wasn't a question.
I think it sounded like you were saying, is sex addiction a real thing?
Well, we all know Deb's point of view on it is that sex addiction is not real.
Not my point of view. It's everybody who is a professional's point of view.
Really?
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah, it actually is.
Is Emily still on the line?
Yeah, she's still there. She's still there.
Yes, I'm still fucking here.
So, no, Emily, you're saying from a professional standpoint, sex addiction actually does not exist.
Well, this is Deb. Works in the field, and as far as the actual experts and scientific data shows, that sex addiction is not a real thing. Correct, Deb?
My ears are open. Can you explain what that means and how it's in opposition to what every popular opinion is?
Okay, go ahead.
It's not every popular opinion. It's as a professional, I need to diagnose people to get insurance to pay and also to just to make it legitimate. And right. There's a book, and it's everyone gets together and puts diagnosis. You know, when you go to the doctor, they do a little diagnosis code. There is no diagnosis code for sex addiction. It does not exist. It's a 12-step program model that is filled with shame, and it doesn't talk about the reasons why you're doing it. It basically is a lying addiction. It's an entitlement addiction. It's not a sex addiction, because if you take something out and put in working out addiction, no one would say anything.
Right.
And it's a shaming model because it's based on morals.
But here's my question about it, Deb. Okay. Is it something that can be like... Is the problem say like the cheating the sexual harassment, can that be fixed? Can that be treated?
It can be treated through talk therapy to figure out why someone's entitled to take out his penis in front of a woman that's completely dressed and masturbate without her consent.
Sure.
Well, that's not an addiction. That's why does he think he can do that?
It's a power struggle. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to. Totally.
Yeah, but not that I do not believe you or I question your expertise. But
however,
but my curiosity demands that I ask, well, if it's, don't people who engage in behavior that is part of a serious mental illness, don't they go above what is acceptable? Isn't that part of what a mental illness is?
To me, the difference is Leonardo DiCaprio and Tiger Woods. Okay, do you think both of them had a very high sex drive and have lots of sex with a lot of different people? And
yeah,
someone would say that's not correct.
I don't think it has anything to do with sex drive. I think it is to do with opportunity. But go on. I don't think their sex drive is any different than any average man's sex drive is. I'm sorry. You know what? That was presumptuous of me to say. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm
I'm sorry. Go ahead, no, I apologize. You know what? I'm sorry. That go ahead.
Okay.
She's just shadowing.
Shadowing.
I'm sorry.
She's just shadowing.
I said something stupid. Sorry.
The difference between the two of them was married, and no one ever talks about Leonardo DiCaprio having a problem with sex addiction.
Because he's a single man.
Had a problem with sex addiction because he was married.
Right.
And that was the only difference.
It's true. I mean, you look historically.
But there are other actors who've admitted to sexual addiction. Like, what was who's the name of the
their PR
David Duchovny did. He was
David
married.
Duchovny.
He was
no,
married.
No, but what's that famous Irish actor?
Which one? There's a lot of them.
I'm sorry. The one that has the least amount of acting ability. He's in Bruges. He just says swear words all the time and looks like a tough guy. Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell
admitted to having a sexual addiction, and he is definitely not married and has fathered lots of children and has no problem.
You just found the unicorn.
I love unicorns.
Literal unicorn.
Okay, all right. So what you're telling me is he is the unicorn. I've used it as my standard bearer, but he is actually, in fact, the unicorn.
Right. So here's my question to you, Deb. Go ahead.
I just never saw it as a married, unmarried thing.
All right,
That's
hold on.
When I looked at it.
Let that go.
But I also don't believe in God, so it's hard for me to believe in anything.
The problem on the show is that the women have now outnumbered the men, and getting a word in edgewise is impossible. And I will admit to that sexual abuse because I am now the minority in the room. All right, Deb. So here's my question to you. Where do you stand on all the women coming out? Do you feel that it's a kind of mindset of society now, or do you think it has become a witch hunt?
I think it's a mindset of society, and I think women are finally standing up to saying, "Well, this happens to me."
Yeah.
It's happened to me, but I didn't have any. It wasn't a power
Listen,
thing.
I apologized for that profusely. Come on, that's a there it is.
Good one. She's looking too serious.
Yeah, I know. Everything got a little weird. Everything got a little weird. She's playing Candy Crush. But I will say, like, I do agree that women need to come out, and I'm fully 100% behind it. But I do think that as a society, we were talking about it before, that we need to discern the difference between, say, Roy Moore and say like an Al Franken, which is, I in my opinion, not as severe as something like a Roy Moore.
Right, but think about a sex offender.
Yeah.
You know, anything that has to do with sex gets lumped into a sex box, and a sex offender, if you rape, you know, 50 women, or you accidentally sleep with someone you thought was of age, you're both sex offenders.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
So why should what you're talking about be any more specific?
I just want to say something about people who unknowingly sleep with people who are underage. I feel like I've always had a moral dilemma with that. While I feel like every man shouldn't be carding the woman they're about to go to bed with, it just takes the mood out of it. And I feel like if she looks old enough, it's okay. If you think to yourself you have doubts whether she's old enough, maybe you should back out of that, and you ask her age and she lies about it, I feel like you are not responsible.
There is a lot of controversy about that. Deb is shaking her head.
There's no controversy because if you don't, how are you held responsible for something you don't know anything about? Should you be carding the women you go to bed with?
The law is no excuse. That's like the first thing.
Okay, so you think every man should card a woman before they go to bed?
I never said that.
No, but how would you know her real age unless you card her? It's like a bar.
Because you don't meet women where they're underage.
Yeah,
like,
I'm talking about there are times where guys have met underage girls at bars.
Well, how did they get in?
Who knows?
Blame the bouncer.
It happens. Go ahead.
Hold on. Do you think Emily's playing Xbox right now?
Where is Emily? Emily, Plan B, are you there still? No.
Yeah.
You are.
Oh, my God. You're on the toilet? Are you going number one or number two?
No, I was fixing my toilet.
Fixing the toilet.
Did you go number two?
No. I had you guys on mute. I was just, like, listening to the show.
Yeah,
and then
as
I
you should be.
That I was actually calling in too.
Do you promise to call in on December 2nd?
Yes, she will. She will.
No. Please do, because I'll be on the air.
Never calling
again. Never calling again.
No, please don't do that.
So, it is, I mean, as far as like, I think we need to, like what you were saying before, a sex offender is a sex offender.
We should go back to the original question.
Like someone like Roy Moore, I think we can all agree that his actions, whether accused true or not, comparable to Al Franken, are way different.
Well, yes, in the severity. I mean, Al Franken didn't date people. You know, go to high school and date.
Right. Right.
That just seems so weird.
I know. Like, that's creepy.
Like don't do anything with anybody under 18. Like, as a golden rule of thumb, like, just don't do that and you probably won't become a sex offender.
You'll be all right. You'll be all right.
You know, like,
if you see Hello Kitty paraphernalia, she's too young.
She's too young. At this time and age, though, I mean, she might have been just really
into
it. Or
Japanese.
Oh my God, just don't date Japanese at all, because that's like...
We gotta rein it in, guys.
Rain it in.
We're going overboard tonight.
We're going crazy. We're going a little bit nuts. We got 2 hours to fill. What do you want from us? We are Dave and Giggles. If you're just tuning in, which I doubt you are, but if you're just tuning in, you got me, Dave, Giggles in Colorado. You got Rosie in shadowing us today,
right next to Dave.
You got Emily fixing her toilet in Astoria, and then
lying
you got,
about number two,
right? And then you got Deb, who's in Jersey, and she is our expert sex therapist. So that's pretty much what you got. You're on Radio Free Brooklyn. Go ahead, Giggles. What do you got?
This is off topic, but I need a place to stay in Jersey October 13th. I'm coming to do a wedding. So I'm gonna stay with you Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night.
October 13th?
Of 2018.
Okay.
Wow, he booked it.
So just leave the deposit.
I will.
All right. Emily.
Yo.
We love you, but I'm going to let you go because I got someone who's going to call in a second. So it was lovely talking to you. Call back next week. I really want to catch up in a way where we don't talk about your people that you're sleeping with and all those other things.
Yeah, there's not much else to talk about, really.
All right, so then we'll talk next week about who you're sleeping with.
Do you ever pay your bills?
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Good talking to you.
Good session.
All right, let's let Deb go.
We're going to let Deb go, too?
Deb's not paying attention. She's got
to
go to bed.
Stop talking to me.
Jeez. All right, Deb, what's going on with you lately? Like, what kind of has been happening in your rooms?
My rooms?
In your sex chat room.
Your rooms.
Wait, you have a sex chat room?
Yeah, she has a sex chat room.
She has one room.
I don't know. Lots of kink.
Can you define kink? I'm very undereducated, so
she's
I need to
DP.
Be defined.
She wants a Western.
She wants a
Western DP.
You know what? I think that's a very ordinary thing. But let's get on with the. What is kink? What do you define as kink? And give examples.
It's not what I define as kink. It's what the client that comes in that defines.
So what's been happening? Has there been any like turning point in your how you deal with these things? Have like you've come across anything where it enlightened you in a way where you've taken a different approach
about this topic you're talking about?
Any topic you want to talk about, Deb.
Deb hates this. Deb's done. She's done with you, Dave. You don't have any real questions.
Of all real questions.
You don't know what you're talking about.
All right, fine. You want to change subjects? All right. So we got Thanksgiving coming up, right? We got about 10 minutes left in the show. I want to go around the room, and I want to talk about what we're all thankful for. What are you thankful for, Deb?
I'm thankful for you guys.
I know you are, but come on. Anything more than that? Because I know you're thankful for me. You've always been thankful for me.
Always. I miss you.
I know. I haven't seen you in a while.
You guys are close. You guys are only an hour away.
I know. I got to get out there.
Still waiting for the microphone.
I know. We're going to get you that microphone. So we're going to get you a microphone, and we're going to do a sex talk. Will you be able to bring in a bunch of callers for that? Will you get a whole bunch
absolutely.
Of your... Yeah.
Yeah, I have more than like a half an hour notice. Absolutely. Right.
Well, yeah, we'll set it up. Maybe the week after next, we'll get you your microphone and we'll really make this happen.
All right. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family's health.
That's nice. So are all your kids off to college now, or you still have one at home, right?
I have one at home. She's a junior in high school, and we just went and visited college.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
That's very nice.
You should take her to Bennington.
Take her to Bennington.
There are a lot.
I got a really nice friend up there named Ellie.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
What else is on the list?
You should go with her, Dave. You should go with her.
All right.
And then, like, stalk Ellie.
Yeah. I if Ellie's still listening, I'm not coming for you.
Hey, Ellie, will you lead a guest tour for our for one of our other callers?
Yes.
You should look up Ellie.
Yeah.
Okay, I will look up Ellie.
Yeah. Very nice. There's only 20 girls at the college. It's real small.
Yeah.
It's a small
school. No, actually, it is a very small school. You know what? I write letters to Ellie sometimes. And when I send her letters, I just write her full name, and underneath it, I just write Bennington College, Bennington, Vermont, 05201, and it goes straight to her.
Ellie, that's all you write?
That's all. Eleanor,
Well, don't say her last name. Don't say her last name.
But if you just wrote Eleanor, it would still get to her.
All right, good enough.
It's a very small school.
That's good. All right, Rosie, what are you thankful for now that we're almost upon Thanksgiving? The time to reflect. The time to think back over the year and wonder and really just get to the heart of the matter about what you really love and what really means to you.
You know what? I just want to be deep.
Yeah.
Just for one moment.
Talking to the front of the mic.
Okay, talking to the
There it is.
I just want to be deep for one moment. And that is to say, I am so thankful that I haven't lost hope this year. With how difficult things are every single year, and sometimes they seem to get more difficult from the last year, I am thankful that I haven't given up hope. Given up hope on being a parent and being a partner and on reaching farther in my career and going after the hobbies that I've wanted and really trying to not just lead a life where I'm like half asleep. I am very thankful for that.
That's good.
That I haven't lost hope.
Lovely. I'm very thankful that you were thankful for that. Giggles, we're going to turn to you. What are you thankful for?
Top that bitch.
You know, I am thankful for, I gave a buddy of mine that I used to cater with in New York City. He was out in Denver and he stopped by our house on the way out to fly out of here. And so I hadn't seen him in years and I was showing him around my house and I was like, I'm thankful for my house. I was like, it's a nice house. I feel like, you know, it's really open and spacious and well lit. And so I'm really thankful for where I live, you know?
And that TV.
Yeah, you got that TV now.
I did want to say TV, but that sounded too... I was like, that's really thankful because I got no kids and no wife in the house right now. And after this, I kind of want to just go downstairs and blast some zombies.
You're totally going to blast some zombies for 4 hours straight.
Giggles, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It is really beautiful.
I want to be thankful for that next year.
Yeah.
I want to stop being hopeful and being thankful for zapping zombies.
Yeah. Home I mean, alone. That's really all we can ask for.
On my UHD TV.
That's a good life.
It's not
Ultra
4K.
HD.
It is not 4K. I'm just going to tell you right out front, it is not 4K. Oh, man. So I would say that I would be thankful for you guys. The fact that you give me something to come here and do a radio show about and to jabber on and to talk about myself for an hour or two in this case. But I also want to say that I'm hopeful. And I'm thankful that Donald Trump still may go to prison. And that's what I'm thankful for.
Amen.
Amen. There was someone who was going to call, but we'll see if they actually
Long live Robert Mueller.
Yes, exactly.
Mueller.
While we have a little bit of time left, I read a story in the news about this guy down in Philly who died. And his last will and testament was that he wanted to be buried with a Philly cheesesteak.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They're very delicious. Yeah. I mean, I'm a vegan, but I have to acknowledge that Philly cheesesteaks are delicious.
I would also go around the room and say, what is the prized possession or something that represents you that you would see yourself being buried with? I'm going to go to Deb. Deb, you got anything that means more to you than life itself? No.
I wouldn't want to be buried with that. I would want my family to keep it.
Yeah, but no, you're a selfish person. You want to be buried with it.
I think I might have to pass on this. I can't even think of anything.
Nothing.
I am so selfish because I already thought of...
All right, let's hear it, Rosie.
Aside from my favorite pens, because I am a writer, I have this favorite skirt that I have requested from everybody that I know to make sure that I am buried in it. It is a rainbow skirt made that a friend of mine who's a fashion designer.
Sorry.
My friend who's a fashion designer sewed this rainbow satin skirt onto my body, basically, when I was in her showroom, when I told her I was moving back to New York City from Cape Town. And so that my rainbow skirt and
rainbow
my
skirt.
Yes, and my favorite pen.
That's interesting. I'm down with that.
Because right. I don't think anyone will be able to appreciate them.
I'm going to let you guys go.
What do you mean you're going to let us go?
No, you're not allowed. You have
3.5 minutes
we
left.
We hang up on you. You don't hang up on us.
I'm going to let you guys go. That's so good.
That's so funny. We let you go.
All right. What's going on during the week? What do you have happening during the week, Giggles? Anything good? I mean, you didn't even talk about it. You went to a Hyperloop meeting over the week.
Answer this call. We'll talk about the Hyperloop.
Yeah, let's take this call.
All right. Hold on. Call, are you there?
I am.
I thought you were coming in. What happened, Dylan?
The trains, they didn't like the idea I was coming there.
No, they hate you. They hate you.
Trains they do not like socializing.
Well, at least you called in with 3 minutes left. That's very nice.
Listen, I just got swept up in the moment with everyone giving thanks and all.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just wanted to voice that I'm very thankful that this show is finally over.
Amen.
It's a long show.
It was tough.
It's almost there. You're going to get your wish.
Yeah.
That's hurtful from the guy who was going to come in for it.
Thomas is going to wrap this one up.
Yeah. All right. So what else is going on over there?
Absolutely nothing.
You got nothing?
I got that. That was it.
You were thankful that the show is ending. That really means a lot to me. No. I really appreciate it.
I mean, anything for you guys, really.
I know. That's really nice. Yeah. Listen.
I wish I made it.
I know. I wish you made it, too. You guys should have drove out here. Yeah. You were in the tracker and everything. What happened?
Yeah, we were off-roading. That's all paved road. The tracker doesn't go onto paved road, really, so we couldn't...
Where were you doing off-roading? Where were you off-roading?
Where was that? It was in New Jersey. Just like a part of New Jersey that doesn't have good roads. You know, it's like a shitty town, basically.
So it's not as much off-roading as it is just driving in New Jersey.
Just driving around a crappy part of New Jersey.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, which is great about New Jersey because you have that luxury kind of.
Right.
There was something great about New Jersey. Where in New Jersey do you live?
Well, I live in Jersey City, but we were in...
Oh, my God. We're in Jersey City. I used to live in Jersey City.
I live on 9th Street.
He's giving out his address.
Ooh. No, well, we have to take the patron.
343 9th Street, apartment number 2.
Wait, what's the cross street? 9th Street and what?
Monmouth and Brunswick.
Oh my God! I used to live on 8th and Monmouth. You know where you know where Madame Claude's is?
Sure.
Oh my God! I live next door to it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Jersey City is amazing. Yeah.
We're getting another caller, but
oh my God,
it's too late.
Maybe it's somebody from Jersey City.
It is.
Yeah, everyone from Jersey City should call in right now.
Fuck FMU, WFMU, call in Radio Free
Brooklyn. Show.
Forget the WFMU.
The fundraiser.
It's the fundraiser
right now. It's the Dave and Giggles fundraising hour.
Yeah, we're raising money.
Please sponsor this show.
Yeah, for whatever we feel like spending money on after the show. Beer mostly.
Sure.
All right, we are Dave and Giggles. We got 5 seconds.